How about a hand for those youth, for real though? So for those who don't know me, my name is Jim Bob Brazil. I am not a pastor. I am not ordained in any way, but at youth camp on Tuesday, Dale turned to me and goes, "You're preaching on Sunday." So here I am. And I have to tell you, I saw God move in ways this past week that just took my breath away. I didn't just feel the Holy Spirit. There was a point in worship where it may have been first night because we went zero to Jesus real quick, y'all. I mean, that speaker did not waste time. It was the first time I heard a sound that I can only describe as the Holy Spirit moving in a room. And it was 300 teenagers praying out loud. And it created this hum, like vibration. And I turned, and it felt, I could just feel the Holy Spirit. Then he turned a spotlight on me. And it revealed some challenging questions that we're going to wrestle with this morning. So part of what I'm preaching today is holding myself accountable to all of you, saying out loud what I need to work on. But I think there's probably more than just me who needs to hear it. So last week, Forrest started his sermon by saying, "If you're tired of me preaching about the Psalms all summer, too bad." So with that in mind, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible with 176 verses. And it is a magnificent prayer. But there's one phrase that appears 9 times in these Psalms, and it's "revive me." And depending on the translation you're using, it could also be "give me life," "renew my life," "spare my life," but the meaning is the same. 9 times in this Psalm, there is a cry out for spiritual renewal. 9 times, the psalmist acknowledges their desperate need for God's reviving power. In verse 25, "revive me according to your word." In verse 37, "revive me in your way." Verse 40, "revive me in your righteousness." Verse 88, "revive me according to your loving kindness." Verse 107, "revive me, O Lord, according to your word." Verse 149, "revive me according to your justice." Verse 154, "revive me according to your word." 156, "revive me according to your judgments." 159, "revive me according to your loving kindness." And there's a 10th one I found yesterday, verse 50, "your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles." So 9 cries of revival from someone who understood that those who are aware of their spiritual neediness are the ones who get revived. And revival is exactly what I witnessed at camp this week. So let me tell you what God did among our young people. There were more than 300 students at this camp. It was the second week. There were more than 300 the previous week. So more than 700 kids attended this camp. At our week alone, 12 young people accepted Christ for the first time. One of them, as they mentioned, is from Asbury, Gene, who couldn't be here this week, but I had the privilege of watching the Holy Spirit break through in him on the second night of camp and transform him into a beacon for Christ. He showed up like not sure what this was about, and I'm going to be honest, night one, he was a little freaked out. He'd never seen anything like that. Night two, he accepts Jesus, and the rest of that camp, he is a light. He is with everybody, not just our group. He's up in the front with people he didn't know the day before, and he is praising God with abandon. 30 teens rededicated their life to Jesus last week. 5 of them are from Asbury. And 25 students accepted a call to ministry last week. And that doesn't mean ordained ministry. It was really a call to ministry of some form in their church. And one of those students is from Asbury, Thaden, who was out of town this weekend and couldn't be here for this service. But I watched teens from different churches and cities who barely knew each other at the beginning of the week bond together in ways that can only be described as the work of the Holy Spirit. These kids were not just hanging out. They were genuinely caring for each other, looking out for each other, creating the kind of community this world desperately craves. And I saw them pray over each other with a sincerity and faith that you just don't see very often. When one of their peers needed prayer, they didn't just say, "I'll pray for you," and walk away. They stopped what they were doing, they laid hands on their friend, and they prayed with tears in their eyes. And throughout the week, I watched as they practiced these holy habits that we've been teaching them. They read their Bibles, not just because someone made them, because let's face it, we made them, but also because they became hungry for the Word of God. They prayed not just at mealtimes, but throughout the day. They worshiped with their whole hearts, and they served each other genuinely. They learned about prevenient grace, justification by grace, and sanctification by grace. It was beautiful. It was revival, and I think you see it in their faces and in their actions today. But then God began to convict my heart with a question. If these teens can live with this kind of passion and commitment, what about the adults who are supposed to be leading them? So the psalmist begins his first cry in verse 25, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." Our speaker took that phrase, clinging to the dust, and connected it to the story of Jonah. Youth, does anybody remember what Jonah was doing when he was swallowed by the whale? Running away from God. He was called to preach in Nineveh. He did not want to do that, so he just thought, I'm going to go hire some sailors on a ship, and I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I'm not going to do what God has called me to do. So what did God do? Created a vicious storm. And this ship is about to capsize, and so the sailors, the experienced sailors on the ship, what did they start doing? They started throwing cargo overboard. All the things that weighed this ship down and made it more susceptible to capsizing, they threw overboard. So this is the part where I might be preaching to you, but truly I'm calling myself out in the process. Everything I say from this point on applies to me also. What are we carrying that's weighing us down spiritually? What are we clinging to that's keeping us from the kind of passionate faith that I saw in our teens this week? Are we too comfortable in our routine Christianity and afraid to be truly obedient to God because we don't want Him to ask us to do something we're not comfortable to do? Are we using the excuse that we've already done our time in ministry? Are we assuming that spiritual growth is for young people, not us? Are we too proud to admit that we need revival just as much as they do? Are we afraid of what others might think if we get too passionate? Just as Jonah was running from God's call to preach boldly, are we ignoring God's call to lead boldly? We bear the image of God, justification by grace, through justification by grace. It is only through Christ that we become righteous and holy. We don't earn our identity. We receive it as a gift. And part of that identity is being called to lead, not just to follow, not just to support, not just to write checks and show up on Sundays. We are called to lead our young people, lead our community, and transform lives. God has not called us to live in our comfortable Christian bubbles, content with ourselves. He's called us to be examples of what passionate faith looks like to others. So at camp, our teens were urged to pop. It's an acrostic. There's two meanings for this. The first is presence over perfection. We do not have to be perfect to follow God. We just have to be present. And through constant presence with God, that's how we become perfected. So that's the first one. P.O.P. Second one is about the holy habits the teens learned this week. First P, pray. I watched them pray with desperation, y'all. They stayed in conversation with him throughout the day. Do we still pray like that? Are our prayers routine and not part of an actual relationship with God? So that's the first P, pray. O is for obeying God's word. And our young people were hungry for God's word this week. They took notes during teaching. They asked questions. They wanted to know how to apply what they were learning. Are we modeling that same hunger? Are we in God's word daily, not just on Sundays? I'll tell you, my answer to this has been no. The psalmist consistently asks to be revived according to the word because God's word is the means of revival. It's not enough to just know it. We have to follow it, and we must obey what we learn. So that's the O. The last P is to pursue Jesus. And I watched our teens do that this week with everything they had. They didn't hold back. They didn't worry about looking foolish. They worshiped with abandon, served with joy, and loved with authenticity. And sometimes it feels like, as an adult, we pursue Jesus like we're doing him a favor by showing up. We hold back our emotions, we guard our time, we measure our commitment, and I'm as guilty as anyone on that part because I sing every other Sunday up here, and so when there's another opportunity to volunteer in this church, I go, I don't know, I already sing every other Sunday. I kind of want to just chill. The Cowboys are on at noon, you know? Although I don't know if I want to watch them this season. So there's a personal responsibility in each of those nine cries for revival. We must personally pursue Jesus with the same passion we expect from our youth. And that's what hit me the hardest this week. Our young people did exactly what we taught them to do this week. They practiced the holy habits. They lived out their faith boldly. They cared for each other authentically, and they sought God passionately. Are we? Church family, God is not leading us to manage our youth. He's calling us to lead them. It is God who sanctifies. It's God who does that reviving work. It's God's Holy Spirit dealing with us on a personal level, making us alive and clean and full of joy. And that same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that revives us. Our holy habits, prayer, reading the Bible, worship, fellowship, service, they are not what make us holy. They are our response to God making us holy already. We don't do these things to earn his favor. We do them as a response to the favor he already did for us. I'll say it again. We don't do these things to earn his favor. We do them as a response to the favor he already did for us. Our young people understand this. They responded to God's grace and are allowing him to sanctify them through the holy habits we've taught them. Are we doing the same? God moved powerfully among our youth this week, but that movement did not happen in isolation. It happened because we taught them the holy habits. We created an environment where the Holy Spirit could work. And it happened because we poured into them. But now they're home. And they need to see the same holy habits lived out in us. They need to see that what they experienced at camp isn't just for young people. It is the normal Christian life. They need to see us reading our Bibles with the same hunger they showed, praying with the same desperation and faith, worshiping with the same abandon, serving with the same joy, loving with the same authenticity. They need to see us throwing off the cargo that weighs us down, the excuse that we're too old for passionate faith, the comfort of routine instead of obedience, the pride that keeps us from admitting we need revival too, the fear of what others might think. Revival requires submission to the will of God. It is not based on age or experience. It is based on God's unchanging character and his eternal word. It's available to teens and grandparents alike, but it requires the same thing from all of us. Humility to admit our need and faith to cry out for it. So here's my challenge to myself and every adult in the room. Are you practicing the holy habits we taught our young people? Are you reading God's word daily? Praying consistently, worshiping authentically, serving joyfully? Are you living in a comfortable Christian bubble? Or are you living out loud for Christ in a way that our community can see? What cargo do you need to throw overboard so you can weather the storms of life and fulfill God's calling? Most importantly, when did you last cry out for revival? When did you last say, "Revive me, O Lord, according to your word"? Our young people came back from camp transformed. They're ready to live boldly for Christ. They're ready to change the world. Are we ready to lead them? Are we ready to step out of our bubbles and fill this place and this community with the witness of God's transforming power? Are we ready to show them that the passion they felt at camp isn't a temporary high? Because our young people deserve to see that the God who moves so powerfully at camp wants to move in the everyday lives of their parents and grandparents and teachers and mentors and every adult in their church. That's what our community needs to see, not just passionate teenagers who might grow out of it, but passionate adults growing into it. Not just young people who are fired up temporarily, but mature believers who are consistently on fire for God. They need to see that revival is not just for camp. It's for life. And I think the beginning of Psalm 119, so verses 1 through 8, is a beautiful prayer to end on. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. Amen.